This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
I am Debbie Deal.
And today we have a very, very exciting show planned. And I'll tell you, put it on record because there's going to be some fireworks. We have a very, very exciting guest in the studio once again with us. We're so happy and proud to have, what's the name I'm going to go with you today?
Samantha Ramirez Rubalcaba.
There we see. It's
mouthful right
part.
There.
It's the last part I couldn't get. I know. Samantha Ramirez
Rubalcaba.
Yeah, Rubalcaba. Who is?
The SDG Youth Ambassador.
SDG Youth Ambassador.
Yes, at the
What is SDG Youth Ambassador?
All right. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
So, SDGs stand for the Sustainable Development Goals. And basically, they're a list of 17 goals that were made by the United Nations. And they help promote sustainable development worldwide.
Promote.
And implement.
I like the word promote because promote is not measurable. And we had this conversation off air.
Promote is
not measurable. That's like a political term. I can promote beauty, but can you really get more beautiful? Probably not. So I can promote sustainability, but if I'm really not doing something that achieves sustainability. So I'm going to be devil's advocate inside this conversation because but Debbie knows me. I understand where we want to go, but unless I see the steps of how we get there, I'm really not.
Are also working with the same sustainable development goals. They have them on health, water, education, gender, all of them are in that. And everybody, every country is actually working on them.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they are measurable, actually. So for each goal, there's a specific amount of targets for each one that the UN came up with so that you can help implement those depending on your country. Because it is a worldwide plan, so
okay.
It can't be too specific.
So give me one example of the goal for energy. Let's go with that one. That's a big one.
All right. So goal number seven is affordable and resilient and accessible energy.
That's interesting that you say affordable,
resilient,
and accessible.
But
didn't say renewable.
And renewable.
So they have renewable. So is it possible for me to have the first one, which is accessible, or what's the first one we said?
Affordable was the
affordable.
First one.
Affordable.
Accessible is another one.
Uh-huh. So we could have affordable without being sustainable. I think that's what we have right now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we could have resilient. I like resilient because we obviously get impacted by natural disaster next week. And the final one was?
Accessible. Do you have that one?
I have affordable
accessible,
resilient, accessible.
And renewable.
Renewable.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
So, what is the timeline for meeting goal number 7 by itself?
All 17 goals, the deadline is actually 2030. That's 6 years from now.
Ha! Let me be the first to say, if this were a class, we're going to fail this one. I have no faith. and us achieving that. Yeah. That's my personal thing.
As long as people think they can't do it, they won't do it.
No, it's not.
Exactly.
It's a little more than that. It's a little more than that.
No, I know, but you know what? If you want to get somewhere, let's say you want to go, become an engineer.
We're talking about the Bahamas.
You're not really
an engineer. We're talking about the Bahamas.
No, let's just say you want to be an engineer, mm-hmm. but you're not an engineer.
Of course.
And let's say you're a married woman, you're a single mom with two kids, but mm-hmm. you still want to do it. Mm-hmm. It may take a long period of time to get there, but that woman will still get there. But she has challenges that she has to overcome to actually get there. She has to find the money, find the babysitters, have a job, do everything that she's got to do to end up getting that degree. So, again, I'm just using that as an example that most of these, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Of course, absolutely.
Right?
And the thing is, we were held back a lot because of those natural disasters that you mentioned, like Hurricane Dorian. A lot of our progress had to be stalled or even shifted because of the hurricane and because we couldn't do anything but start building back up.
So let me ask a different question then. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's two ways to approach this. If I want something to be more, what would that look like? What does resiliency look like in energy?
Well, I mean, if you ask me, and I'm no expert here.
Yeah, but I'm asking you.
But if you're asking me, I would say some infrastructure for our energy, the way we obtain it, that withstands these Category 5 hurricanes.
So based on my limited knowledge of how we currently, almost our entire
underground
grid.
Underground would be the best way for us to go.
But our almost our entire grid storage of our fuel source comes by a barge into Clifton Pier and was not. Mm-hmm. So that's not resilient because one hurricane and no ships could come in. Right. It only needs not to get here for about a month and then we don't have no energy.
Building solar up off of the ground. You've seen buildings in
some
of the developed countries.
They have them
also on the sides of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
all of that.
You have your
that.
Windows, and then you have your solar panels, mm-hmm. your windows, solar panels. We could do that.
We could. We
could.
Haven't done it.
No,
50 years
but we
in.
Could.
We could.
We could.
That's the thing, Debbie. That's the thing, mm-hmm. Samantha. Why I always stand in this position. Mm-hmm. We could do a lot of things.
Right.
Now you're telling me we have 6 years left, and we're going to achieve it? I'd say we're not. Now, that's my posture on it. No. Based on our history.
Well, the thing is, we need to start making it. Mm-hmm. We can talk about mm-hmm. them, but we need the actual engineers, the architects, mm-hmm. Every single industry to work together
and come in, do
research on these technologies, see how it's feasible to apply them here, do some capacity building, mm-hmm. and then bring those technologies in that can help the Bahamas.
Good. I like that, what we said. Mm-hmm. I support that. Mm-hmm. Here's the challenge. The GDP of the Bahamas, some 11... 12 billion. Would it be? You know who drives most of that 11, 12 billion?
Government.
Mm-hmm. The people you work for, right inside of OPM, they, and I say this unapologetically, mm-hmm. they determine how much of these goals we achieve.
Right.
So when you say we won't achieve them, I'm not speaking about Debbie doing it or you doing it or all my friends who are architects, engineers, and contractors. No. We on our small scale, we impact that 11 billion very minutely. When we spend $300 million on power plant this way, $400 million, you know who's doing that? The government of Bahamas. And I look at the footprint. I look at what we build. I'm like, yeah, that was a great opportunity to be solar. That's a great opportunity to be renewable. That's a great. But you know what I see? I see the very same type buildings for airports mm-hmm. and the new ones where they bring online in Cat Island. Mm-hmm. It's the same type of airport we built 30 years ago.
But do you notice that most of the change is actually being done by the private sector?
I know that.
Yes.
So the private sector is doing the change, but the person who should drive the change is the people with the biggest purse.
Right. But if
kind of seems like that's not going to happen.
But if you can't get that to happen, be done, you do it on your own. But and what you do is you join forces.
You say that a lot. You say that a lot, Debbie. But when you mean you do it on your own, I don't want it to happen. So suppose I don't want it to happen. The government did. The government signed something. They want it to happen. Take me out of it. They want it to happen. The question I ask, how much effort are they putting in to the thing they say they signed and they want? Jacinda didn't ask me.
I can tell you that
I don't want to happen at all.
The SDG unit, we've also got the sister unit, which is the Climate Change and Environmental Advisory Units, and they're relatively new in the government, so you can see that they're putting in the efforts.
Right.
They've got us, youth ambassadors, this new program that they're developing, so that we can get that youth involved in advocacy, which is what you're speaking for, is talking about these technologies and trying to bring attention involved towards them.
Right.
So I'd say they're doing a great job getting that advocacy and those programs out there.
Right, that's Rochelle Newbold and Charles Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
They're amazing.
And how much of those advocacy groups speak to Ministry of Public Works?
Public Works?
People who design and draw the government archaic buildings that don't work.
Oh, but the Ministry of Works has their own architectural
I think, Samantha, you really need to go down there and tell those people, you know what, we kind of have a goal for 2030. You probably need to incorporate a whole lot more solar in consideration.
That actually really is.
That's
a
good idea.
One thing that I think would be really nice is working with the BCA potentially so we can talk to those contractors. I mean, we have our presentation plans to speak on advocacy for climate change and SDGs.
Absolutely.
So I think starting there, I think the focus right now for this ambassadorship that we just started, this year started in May for us, the focus was starting working our way from the bottom up. So we've started with primary schools, secondary schools are on the horizon, and we'd like to work our way up towards the working class, you know, young adults and young entrepreneurs, and trying to get that message across to them as well. So we're working on it. We're working. Give us some time. It's been 6 months so far.
You got 6 years, so your time is kind of short. But anyway, so that's exciting. I like that. Now, let's talk about goal number eight. I like goal number seven. What's goal number eight?
Decent work and economic growth.
Decent work. What does that even mean? Decent work and economic growth.
Not being a slave to a person who hires you, that doesn't
treating
pay
each other
you
fairly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
How do you measure whether that's achieved or not? How do you measure that you're doing the goals for decent work and economic growth? I mean, again, to me, that's a flowery phrase. But how I measure that. Debbie, persons may be working in construction and think, you know what, I hate working in construction. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't work in construction then.
Right.
What do I need to do to ensure that the Bahamas is in line with the practices accepted under the agreement that we need to meet for 2030?
Well, you brought up something that's a bit different than what it...
I interpreted it.
But, decent work... If you don't like working in a store, or if you don't like working in construction or any of those kind of things, you can change your mind and go somewhere else, right? If you don't like it.
Yeah.
What this is about is the people that actually hire people, tell them that they'll pay them $150 for the week, which is slave labor anyway, and then at the end of the week, not pay them, and then keep them working for 6, 7, 8 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, because they have no other choice but to eat, at least go there and eat food and have a meal or something, whereas that's not decent work. That's you're being treated unfairly, you're not abiding by the laws, and somebody is suffering for it. That's how I understand the change that is necessary.
But isn't that something that an individual right now could mitigate on their own by simply just contacting the Department of Labor?
You would think so.
Some people don't even think of contacting the Department of Labor. They wouldn't even want to go there. They'd be afraid to go there.
Some people don't know their own rights.
Absolutely. We've learned that from contracts with the people that are not happy with the homes that are being built for them.
Okay. I the challenge I have with that.
I like the fact that we think on
totally
different ends of the spectrum.
Because the challenge I have with that, the Bahamas is a rule of law country, of laws and rules. And anytime any law or rule is infringed upon, you have redress through our courts. Now, you not knowing that the country you're doing work in has these rules and law certainly puts onus on the person. Now you can still find it out. But I think it's difficult for us. Well, I think it's easy now for us to achieve that goal, because in any instance where that is found to be something that's happening, I mean, there's certainly alert authorities and you address it.
Well, that's
very easy.
That skirts on another issue, is that a lot of these persons that are being mistreated like that are probably not Bahamian and would not even think of having any rights in this country, and be afraid to actually go to somebody to ask for help.
So
unless maybe a pastor.
So let me understand this. Because I'm trying to get the understanding. You believe that there are illegal workers in the country.
Some of them may be legal.
No, let's call it illegal. Because if you're legal, you have all the rights and privileges as
but
a citizen.
You still don't know that.
You don't know. You're legal, but you don't know that.
Do you know most people that are starving right now do not know that they could go to social services, that they can't get uniforms for the kids for school and books because they don't have any money, and they don't realize they could actually go to social services
and apply
and get this?
And,
these are Bahamians that have grandparents and great-grandparents have been here, but they don't know that this is available to them.
Who are able to work, working, who are legal here, through whatever means they are legal, and don't know that if someone... You work for someone, they have a right to pay you, and you would have had agreement on what the wage would be. Again, not saying that it's impossible, but I struggled with that with all the information that we have our friends from the Ministry of Labor, Department of Immigration, they come on all the time and talk about it. Do they not listen to that as well? I mean, they could be intimidated by the boss.
They probably don't listen to the talk
shows.
Again,
I could always say you could don't work in that environment. Because the Bahamas is not like, let me say, it's not like some really, really depressed third world country. Very easily, you could address a situation by going to the police station. This is a place where access to law enforcement is very easy.
But if you look at the fact that it's like 60% of the population is under the poverty line, and then you're talking about people going with rights. People who are starving and people who don't know where their next meal is coming from are not even going to think about that, Leonard. They're going to think about, maybe if I stay here, maybe if I'm working somewhere in a restaurant, let's say, I will at least get food. Mm-hmm. And maybe I could take food home to my wife and my kids.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying...
That's a possibility.
You know.
That's a bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Goal number nine.
Number
just
nine,
real quick,
Samantha.
Going back to that, what Debbie was saying just now, I feel like a good analogy is if you're drowning and you're in the middle of a lake, let's say, your first choice isn't to go swimming towards the nearest piece of land. If you see a log close to you, you're going to go for that log, right? And same thing with that. If they don't know that they have those rights, they're not going to be, if they're in a dire situation where they're close to poverty, they're not going to go swimming towards, doing like 100 meters, going towards the nearest edge of the lake. They're going to grab onto that log, and that's going to be either illegal work or really, really bad conditions of work, under work.
So, fair enough. I can accept that. See, that's 2 points I've accepted already. I doubt you'll get any more points after the break, but that's 2 points I accepted already. So we'll be back to nail it on Guardian 96.9 after this break.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Want them crack and they just build a house.
Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack up because I rot in steel.
I guarantee fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. Got the sand that they use of salt in it. And then over time, they start to rotten. And just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and our crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
Join me, Alexis Burrows, for Vital Voices, the weekly radio show and podcast tackling the nation's most pressing health and wellness topics. From healthcare equity to proactive wellness, Vital Voices empowers you with tools and knowledge to improve your life and community. Tune in every Saturday at 2:30 p.m. on Guardian Radio and catch full episodes on YouTube every Monday. Don't miss these crucial conversations with experts, providers, and industry leaders, because your health matters.
When you're building renovation, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We are back on Guardian 96.9, Nailed It, here with Debbie Deal and Samantha Riveras.
Talking Ruval Kaba.
Yes. What's that? Say it again.
Ruval Kaba.
Ruval Kaba.
Yes, sir.
From the...
Mexico?
No.
SDGs?
Yes, SDG. Sustainable SDG Youth Ambassador for the Bahamas.
Yes.
Very happy to have a youth ambassador for the Bahamas,
yes.
Which is SDG for all those who are listening. Sustainable Development Goals. In public, we have 6 more years in achieving the Sustainable Development Goals. I feel we didn't have enough time because we should have had like 20 years. But when did we have it last? COP what? Was when we started the goals. COP what?
2015.
Okay, we have some time.
Yeah.
So this is a 10-year goal then, 2015 to 2025.
15 to 30.
Oh,
15
to 30.
Yes.
15 years. Did we start in earnest in 2015?
I was not there.
Did we start in earnest in 2015? Because I believe we should have been along the way.
We definitely were talking about them because I know through the chamber that was part of the things that we were working towards.
15 years is some time.
Yeah.
But it's only 3 administrations. So mm-hmm. I think part of the challenge is continuity of thought through these development goals. Anyway, before we get too far into this, let's take a second to thank our sponsors. Pay some bills before we get too far. And Debbie, you want to go ahead and list off some information?
Sure. What I'd like to do is give you some numbers if you want to give us a call. Please do at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 or call toll-free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. And then you can also text us on our Guardian Radio text line, 422-4796, powered by BTC, standard text rate supply.
There we go. And our sponsors for the show, Nailed It, is Wolseley Construction, ARM Caribbean, CBS Pro Store, Art Development, ETS, Engineering and Technical Services, CMEX Bahamas, Stone Oak Bahamas, and Storm Frame. And we thank all our wonderful sponsors. And if you would like to be a sponsor, please reach out at the BCA at 356-8850 and speak to Donna and she'll tell you how you could help sponsor
right.
this show.
Because we couldn't do this show if we didn't have the sponsors.
Absolutely.
So we're really, really grateful for you because we have so many people that after the show are calling us and emailing us and texting us, telling us either a problem that they have or how we solved a problem. And yes, so we're really grateful to be able to actually do this and create a difference, make a difference.
So Samantha, I'm going to ask you a very hard question.
Oh, boy.
This is the hard question.
Let's go for it.
I give you a heads up. How close are we to achieving all, how much goals are there?
17.
All 17 of our SDG goals. The question blanketly. I need a percentage. So let's do, I'm back to math.
Oh, my lecturing. Goodness.
So on a scale of 0 to 100%, out of 17 goals, let's try to figure out how what percentage are we in achieving all 17 goals as a country. This is really, really important here.
Now, I don't think I can give you any percentages. What I can do, though, tell you that we do have a website that you can go on to.
What is the
website? There, we've got the global website, which is SDG. I think it's UNSDG.
It's UNSDG.
So it's the UN SDG goals.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have the sdg.gov.bs website, which is our progress, the Bahamian progress on the SDGs.
And so we could go on that, and it will show everyone who wants to know with the Bahamas, how close are we or how we're doing in respect to the SDG goals?
The thing is, because these are such kind of arbitrary values, it's kind of difficult to be able to measure it in a percent as you're giving me the hard question
about.
Right now. But what I can
measurable goals, Samantha. We talk with measurable goals.
Is that we do have our targets and indicators on the UN's website. And so you can go through those, see each target, and see relatively what projects are happening. So on our personal website, the sdg.gov.bs website, you can go on SDG and how they're helping and what they've done so far.
Okay. Great answer. Like that. Yeah. So we got 17 goals.
Yes.
And you spoke about projects.
Mm-hmm.
That can there be multiple projects per goal?
Yes, of course.
That's
if
a lot.
Anything, that's what we want to do. We want to aim for, you know,
that's
we want to get as many industries involved in every single solution. I mean, you might be thinking about, let's say, SDG 8, which we talked about, decent work and economic growth. You might be thinking, well, only administrative sectors in a business focus on that. But that's not true. From the worker all the way to the employer, all of those people are involved in achieving SDG 8.
Okay, good. Let's talk about SDG goal number 10.
All right, that is reduced inequalities.
Reduced
inequalities.
Oh. Now, is it reduce inequalities or reduced inequalities?
Reduced with a D at the end.
Why would it be reduced?
Just real quick, I want to say that you skipped right over the one that would apply perfectly to SDG 9, to the BCA.
Okay,
Industry, innovation, and infrastructure.
Let's go with SDG 9. Then. Let's go SDG goal 9.
We can go through 10 and then come back to 9, but I just thought it was a little ironic.
I'm
going
to circle that
and
make sure we don't forget that. Okay, good. Let's go SDG 10.
10. So it's reducing inequalities, making a more accessible world for everybody here. Whether you have a mental disability or a physical disability, making sure that we have inclusive societies, inclusive organizations, both physical and educationally, sure everyone is accessible to everything.
Okay. So let's
it could be,
dive into that
it
a bit.
Could, go ahead. Sorry.
Because I want to know. What does it look like?
Male or female being, you know, you're...
Well, that would be our SDG 5, gender equality.
Oh, sorry.
But specifically, that's a good one too, though. Specifically, let's say, for example, with public transport. Mm-hmm. If we had people with wheelchairs or people who have...
Oh, they can't get on a bus.
Exactly. So trying to make that more accessible for those people.
So I like you mentioned that because a pet peeve of mine, I'm minor in transportation engineering. Okay. So I've been home from school.
Okay.
So I'm 17 years now.
Okay.
That's sitting. Exact same bus that was on the road when I was in high school is still on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So that individual who couldn't catch a bus because the bus doesn't kneel, have access to a wheelchair and all that stuff, still can't catch a bus.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Samantha, when you talk to me about what the Bahamas is doing and how we're going to achieve these goals, and I say we're going to fail at it, it's because I said 17 years and something as simple as buying a bus. We have created legislation now, which every bus, people in the road traffic department, because we don't have something as intelligent as the Department of Transportation, not one single bus complies with the Disabilities Act, which not only was passed and revised. Still, buildings have accessibility, but you can't get on a bus. And no Minister of Transport, I want to make sure everyone has that, no Minister of Transport has had the ability, the ambition, or desire to care enough for the persons who are differently abled to catch a bus in the Bahamas in 50 years.
Because
I
there said are that, buses that do have that, but they are private buses that do
again,
it. And again.
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 The bus system
is
managed, run, licensed by the state.
Right.
So again, Samantha, when you talk about the state achieving goals, I always assume they're not going to because what I said before, I audit the results. Not one step has gone in the positive direction in that regard. But I believe that you and your team are going to continue to fight to make me change my mind.
Well, I'll
about
say,
what
Mr.
you
Sev,
think they're going to do.
You seem to have some very, very innovative solutions to these problems as an engineer.
Mm.
We don't have that many engineers at OPM. We've got more so. The SDG unit is more so reporting on the progress of the SDGs. So they do this voluntary national review in which every country is supposed to do. I think it's every 2 years, might be every five, but I believe it's every 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's how you report your progress to the United Nations. Mm-hmm. And so these are more so intangible things that they're working on every day. We're measuring our success, which is really important, which you've mentioned quite a few times. Mm-hmm. But we also need those people, those experts, to be able to do research on how our bus systems work right now, do research on how we can make it more inclusive, and then do research on what the best innovative solution is to actually implement those without hurting or holding us back further.
I'll volunteer anytime you want to make. I'll give my time up to do it for free. That's easy. I know that what the SDG wants to do, they're earnestly trying to do it. I just want to know if you guys have enough influence, even though you're in the OPM office, to talk to the leadership to let them know, you see this kind of goal here that talks about accessibility and inclusiveness? There's a low-hanging fruit with just transportation that we could actually put a check on that.
I mean,
how do we get that message to the Minister of Transport?
Education.
If they could do that, that would be great.
You know,
but they've done baby steps, right? They've done baby steps. Like
6 years.
Do you notice that every time you go to on a sidewalk, it goes down and there's yellow things that have bumps on it? Okay.
Yeah,
you know, that is for people with disabilities.
So they can know they're approaching.
Right? Have the handy, the physically disabled available for people. They have ramps. Unfortunately, so many people don't build ramps properly because nobody could push a wheelchair up some of the steep things that I see.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be, an eighth of an inch per foot or something like that, right? But it's not. Some of these, boy, I'll tell you. If you didn't like your husband, he was in a wheelchair, you could let him go. He'd be gone.
Back in the drop and he's dead. But even mentioning that, not even for the disabled person, I had an experience where I saw
blind
a couple.
As well.
I saw a couple who were tourists, and I happened to be in a red light, and it was so embarrassing for the country. They were, because they obviously come from a place where it works, pressing
the button
that allows them to cross the street. And after 10 minutes, I rolled on my windows. I'm like, that's not going to work. It's not going to come on. We don't care enough about things that work like that. That's the measurement of how well I think we care about. These cities are all very savvy and great and first world country goals. Do I believe the Bahamas has the ability to do it? Yes. Do I believe we have the capacity to do it? Somewhat. Do I believe we have the will to do it? Absolutely not. But I believe in baby steps. So
remember I mentioned to you that I think two shows ago that, I lost what I was going
to
say.
Don't worry, we'll come back to you quickly.
Anyway, you go ahead and I'll remember.
So let's go on. Now we're going to go back to nine because I already told you that I think we can do it with the buses and some other things, and I'll share those with you later. But if, for God's sake, can we just have one bus?
That's what I was going
to say. One bus that actually kneels when it comes to stop for pedestrians, for also disabled persons, and persons could actually put their wheelchair on the bus. And guess what? The buses are right available in Canada, and not America. And it's just a matter of swapping out the buses that we buy from Japan.
I finally remember what I was said. I said that I don't think that many of the, and please correct me if I'm wrong, many of the members of parliaments actually drive through their constituency. And I don't mean just the main road. I mean all the little roads off the roads to see what's going on. Because if you've noticed that, and that's not your constituency, right?
That's on Bay Street.
So what's that, right?
Well,
you know, I'm just saying.
That's Bay Street.
There doesn't seem to be enough
attention
to the smaller details that create the bigger problems, to be perfectly honest.
No. And so we have a long way to go, but I believe that the persons who are part of the team.
I'm so grateful for
They're going to try.
For the youth ambassadors.
Yeah, they're going to try.
The young people,
they're going to try. That's my thing. I know they're going to try.
They have newer ideas. Yes, right.
And they're going to try. I know they're going to try. Mm-hmm. And I want them to give you $1 billion to continue trying. But they're probably going to give you $100,000 to change the world with this. No, you can't change the world with $100,000. Now we get excited to talk about development goal number 9.
So number 9 is industry, innovation, and infrastructure.
Ah, I love infrastructure.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Very applicable to the BCA. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean for the Bahamas? Industry, innovation. What does our goal look like for 2030? How do we need to
explain
prove
how
that?
You see that?
How I see that.
How do you
well,
see that?
My focus, I'm studying to be an engineer as well. Mm-hmm. So engineering and environmental technology, which is also very applicable to all of this. Mm-hmm. And so my take on this or my focus on this is creating resilient infrastructure that respects the building codes, maybe updating that building code. I know they've got projects on updating that building code happening right now. Mm-hmm. And so trying to make more resilient infrastructure, I have hurricanes, trying to make better air conditioning systems so that those can be a little more sustainable as well. You know, we've got the SEER that's getting that efficiency better mm-hmm. for getting more sustainable systems going up and running. So there's a lot of things, but my take is just making resilient infrastructure.
Let me ask you a question. How about policy in regard to the SEER? So Debbie had mentioned before, like, it's illegal to bring in the 13th SEER unit on paper, I should say. But what about there being a mandate that if you're going to use an AC unit, it has to be not only say a minimum of 13 SEER, it has to be a 21 SEER XYZ. Like,
or at least a minimum of 16.
A minimum of 16.
You
like,
know, if the government is so passionate
yeah,
about
we don't condition the minimum.
Using less energy.
But you say you can't bring in 13.
And if they use less energy, then we use less fuel.
Yeah.
If they're interested
yeah,
in that.
If you're really
then,
interested
then,
in it.
Then make a policy where when a thing reaches the dock, actually beforehand, because you actually have to send your papers in beforehand. That if a 13 SEER are on that, it doesn't leave Florida or wherever it's coming from. If they're really
serious about reducing
our energy consumption and in turn our fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. They would do that. And to do use solar, you have to reduce your energy consumption if you want to have a solar farm. Because I know they're just gonna feed it into the grid, but still you want it to make you want to be able to see the progress mm-hmm. in it, not just something that is pretty to look at, but you're not really seeing any, you know, great difference in the reduction in our
So speaking about, and Debbie, that's a great point. So I always look at that too. I mean, what is our real effort into achieving the things we say we want to achieve? But that's about resiliency of infrastructure. I look at our road system, and I said, our roads are resilient. We know we have a limestone base. We know that the way we build roads, we use compact fill, compact it, put asphalt on it. Rains a lot in the Bahamas, it seeps through the asphalt, causes the fill to drop. The edges crumble, and then guess what we have? Potholes.
Right.
It's just the system we're using
for
the climate we have. It's going to create holes because it gets hot. It doesn't get very cold, but it gets hot and expands. Right. So water's going to seep through during the rainy season, and then the base is going to fall away, and you're going to have holes. And we spend a lot of hundreds of millions of dollars on repaving roads. Again, resiliency and even infrastructure. What if we did roads out of concrete? They last a whole lot longer. Now, they may cost a pretty penny to install, but the lifetime cost of it is going to be significantly reduced.
Right. For persons who
don't... That's something that y'all could suggest.
Yeah, who may not have thought of that. If you go to any airport, let's say you fly into Miami, you're going to go shopping or whatever, and you look at the skirts that you go to, you see 20 by 20 squares, and you see them because they're cut. Right? Mm-hmm. And they're cut like that because that is where they can expand and contract mm-hmm. because everything it has to expand and contract. Mm-hmm. If you have just one large slab like we would do here, then of course it's going to crack wherever the weakest link is where mm-hmm. the fill might not have been tamped properly
or
the concrete wasn't as thick as in another mm-hmm. area or something like that. But yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about with concrete. It would actually work a lot better, last longer. The edges won't crumble. You know, those are the kind of things.
And persons could use the roads the situation is, which is talk about resiliency.
And they could try again, it in one location, just to see, and just do it and see how long it lasts, right? Do
it and have measure it.
Monitor. Yes.
And measure it.
Measure it.
So I'd like to know if y'all got some funding for some of these wonderful projects that y'all got an idea for development goal number 9. I mean, how do you present a project and get funding for it to help towards development goal number 9?
Unfortunately, I personally cannot speak on that one. I don't know if you guys want to take that one.
Where funding would come from?
Not exactly where it would come from, but speaking on personal experience with funding for projects. Not yet. Hopefully. Okay. Hopefully within the next 6 months.
Okay. Well, we got a call. Let's take this call and enjoy this conversation. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good night to you all. I heard you all talking about us experimenting with the concrete on the road.
Yes.
Used to that. I used to live in the States, and that makes plenty of sense. But one thing you all are forgetting, and let me see if any of y'all can think of it. What are you all forgetting?
About concrete using as a...
About our roads.
Our roads? I don't know. Yeah. They're probably...
We like to dig them back up to make them go down.
You are absolutely correct. That is a good point.
Yeah, we got to dig it up, boys.
Well, then I think what Samantha had talked about is the infrastructure
need
to be done properly. And Wentworth Road, you actually have trenches underneath the road where all of the utilities go, so that every 50 feet or 100 feet or whatever, you have a junction box.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to rip up the road.
That's what we could do, caller. If we're really smart, we'll plan it out.
But thank you for thinking
about
that.
But that was a wonderful, wonderful comment, and we like that. And I like to comment like that about,
I do.
Because I think Bahamians are thinking about more resilient roadways. Let's talk about something else in resilient infrastructure, because we thought about roadways. What else could we look at in terms of a resilient infrastructure? Because it's more infrastructure is more than roads. What about our telecommunication system? In a hurricane, they go down. How do we make that more resilient?
Well, we've got our soft infrastructure and our hard infrastructure. So we could talk about that. That would be soft infrastructure. But we could also talk about our buildings themselves and how each time a hurricane comes, we don't have these buildings that are respecting the building codes as of yet. So I think that's where the BCA could come in and talk about some program where we could help certify these contractors like you're aiming for in the BCA, but making sure that every contractor or every non-contractor at least has the knowledge that the building codes exist and that they have to respect them if they want long-lasting buildings and not tumbling into poverty year after year.
Yeah. Well, what we need is for persons who listen to this show and who have had issues with things, we really want you to not record of the phone call. Write your member of parliament.
Write the member of parliament.
And say, listen, this is the situation I'm in. My house isn't built properly. The bank isn't helping me out anything. I have to pay all this money to have a QS come and do this work, and then I have to go to court. Mm-hmm. And then the judge is going to go, they're going to go to court, and the contractor's lawyer is going to say, well, this person hired a person that's not even a licensed contractor. What does she expect? And the judge would probably award the contractor we need the board chosen and put in place for the act that was done
passed
in 2016. We need that urgently because banks are failing because of this. Homeowners are failing because of this.
And the industry is
suffering. And the industry is suffering from it because you're seeing these half-built houses and you're seeing horribly built houses with stairs that you could kill yourself on because they're not any step is the same all the way up. It's like nobody knows how to do math. We need, please, anybody listening, write your member of parliament and say, please do what the BCA has been asking for. Get this in place so that what Samantha is talking about can actually be done. We need that. And we can't do it on our own.
No.
We need you guys out there who are having issues to help us make sure that that gets done.
And so, there are free educational webinars that you can go on to. I know...
Is it on the same website?
Not the same website, but there is a month-long webinar series in partnership with the Government of Canada, with SEDIMA and Pepsi, I want to say.
Really?
Yes, and it was actually back in September, I believe. But you could watch the recordings if you go to their website. I'm not sure what exactly it is. I'll find it. But if you find those partnerships, just look up those three partners, and you should be able to find them. And it was, and the title or the topic of these webinars was safety in residential construction. And I think it's really, really applicable to everyone in the region. So it's they were promoting, I think it was CRCP 1023, a building code that is based off of building codes in Haiti, Grenada, every country that's in the region. And so it focuses on creating buildings, residential buildings, that are withstanding Category 5 hurricanes, as well as Magnitude 7 earthquakes.
Really?
Wow.
That's interesting. That, you need to
find out
what
definitely find those recordings. Very, very useful, very impactful, and it's very useful people in there.
What's CPC stand for?
Pepsi. So it's P-E-P-S-S-C.
P-E-P-S-E-C.
And oh my gosh, Pepsi. You're testing me here, but let me find it. It's Pepsi.
Well, you can always send us these things, like on a, in a WhatsApp or something
so
afterwards.
We can share it, with our construction contractors community.
Contractors, for sure.
So while Samantha's looking up that information, I want to hear about now.
All right. Well,
so we did 10. We jumped back to 9. So we're now on to 11.
I found it. So real quick, I'll say it's the Physical and Environmental Planning Sector Subcommittee.
Ah. Sounds important.
Oh, that is
planning and environment protection subsector. What's that?
The Physical and Environmental Planning Sector Subcommittee, PEPSC, P-E-P-S-S-C. And highly recommend those webinars.
S-S-C, okay, yes. P-E-P-S-S-C.
And you got that flyer I sent you, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yes.
Good. So, development goal number 11. What is that?
So, number 11 is sustainable cities and communities.
Oh, I love that.
I love how that sounds.
Yes. That means also urban applicable. Planners are
exactly.
involved. I love urban planners. We need some in this
we
country.
We don't have any.
I know we don't. I know. You can tell.
Yeah, we don't have one single
because we just build 15 or 20 homes in the middle of nowhere that isn't related to a school or a church.
Or better, we just decide on Carmichael Road. We can just decide to let someone have a car wash next to a church. Next to some pop-up grocery store, next to a bar, next to, you know, vacant lot, next to a child daycare, next to nothing. Nothing's planned.
Well,
so we don't have urban planners.
No.
And I say
that
so the persons in town planning can know we watch what you're doing and it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But anyway, continue.
Yeah. No,
50 years in, we're not
good. We need urban planners.
Samantha, don't worry. They're all my friends. They know. I talk about this all the time.
We get thrown off of Guardian Radio. We're going to take a break right now.
Yes.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing a breakup wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to Russ forever.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
All right, so welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian FM 96.9. So we are at development goal 12. number 12. We just did 11 out of 7. This is a lot.
And we skipped 1 through 6.
And we skipped 1 through 6. And so again, I'm thinking, unless you have a team of 300 persons out there at SBDC,
SDG. Yes.
Yes. In the office of OPM. That's a lot of work on 17 goals with different subparts, and we're on goal number 11. I don't know. It's a lot of work.
A lot of time when they have the consultants and they have the workshops and stuff, they do have stakeholder engagement, and that's what I've been a part of for the last, 14 years or something like that. And what happens is let's say you're doing construction. So what you do is you go think, well we need suppliers. We need, plumbers, electricians, and all of those would be a part of the stakeholder engagement so that everybody has a say in it. What happens is, though, not many people are very reliable and consistent with being a stakeholder. So you start off with maybe 30, actually, let's say BBSQ started off with like 600. And now when we have our meetings, we're lucky if we can get 10 or 12 people to show up at the meeting. Yeah. But it makes it easier because it's less aggravation than 600 people all having to decide something, group.
So SDG goal number 11, what is that now?
12.
We're in 12.
So 12 is responsible consumption and production. I love this one.
That is a heavy one.
It's a very, very heavy one, but it focuses on creating a circular economy. So making sure that we only consume and produce what we need. There's no waste.
So how do we give us just a idea? How do we become more responsible in our consumption of not so much foods? Let's talk about goods that could be easily disposable. I know Debbie and I was talking about we do a lot of renovations. You have toilets, you have face basins, you have things that really could be reused.
Cabinets.
Yeah, could be reused because you don't have to destroy a toilet. You get it clean really good. It's a new toilet.
It's porcelain.
So what do you think about? How's the policy aspect from what you guys are doing to think about consumption and reuse of those things?
Or what is the thing that you're thinking of most?
Yeah, or what are you thinking about?
So that's mostly talking about waste management. I think waste management, because you've got the before and the preventative and then also the remedial process. Yeah. Preventative would be just being more responsible with your consumption, with what you're taking in. But I think that a really, really big problem that we've got here in the Bahamas is our waste management. Mm-hmm. So Debbie and I have actually been talking about this.
Yes.
But and we've also got some really amazing individuals. Like, I don't know if you've heard of the Compost King, Mr. Nicholas Fox. Mm-hmm. But he focuses on composting. We've also got some other individuals who are focusing on creating initiatives for waste management. Mm-hmm. So whether it be organic materials or inorganic materials, trying to build a circular economy and not just taking it to a landfill to get burned,
Right.
Trying to separate all of those goods so that we can give them a second life, like you said, like those countertops or wood, or like the construction industry themselves. They've got a lot of waste.
We do. And that's what we need a whole show on.
Yeah.
No, my stepdaughter, Juliet Deal, is in Hopetown, and she has, I've got to get her contact for you. She has a waste management system where it's basically everything gets reused, the circular economy that you're talking about.
And that's amazing. We need to keep doing those, but kind of implement it in a larger scale.
Right. Yeah, well, like I said, she's doing it kind of on her own, so it's kind of, to do it bigger, you need to invite more persons to actually participate.
And
in
we
it.
Need more resources
yes,
as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So we are now development goal number 13.
13. That's a big one.
Yeah. 13.
Climate change.
Oh, wow.
Climate action.
Climate action. How is the Bahamas going to affect climate action?
Well, I can tell you that first and foremost, we do not produce a lot of greenhouse gases on a global scale. I believe we produce less than 0.1% of global greenhouse gas emissions. Mm-hmm. So that means that even if the Bahamas as a nation was becoming net zero carbon waste or carbon production, we would still be suffering all of those consequences from those first world countries, those really big producers of greenhouse gases like USA, Canada, Russia. So
China
yes. So we want to make sure that when we talk about climate action, we focus more so on the climate mitigation. I mean, the climate adaptation. Not climate mitigation. So climate adaptation would be looking at that resilient infrastructure that we were talking about, things like that, that we can help prevent damage from sea level rise, from heat waves, from hurricane damage, all of those things. That's the climate action that we're looking at in the Bahamas.
Right, even planting more trees to keep buildings cooler and that kind of stuff.
Planting more mangroves, protecting our mangroves and our corals as well, because those help diminish the wave intensity of the waves when hurricanes are coming.
Right. So the question for you, Samantha, do we have a policy, because you mentioned that great point, that dictates that we have to replace trees that we take out of the environment?
Who manages that? We have a Forestry Act from 2010. And a Subdivision Act from 2010. And then we have the revised Forestry Act of 2014.
But I cleared my whole site yesterday. Who's going to come and spank me? I cleared it yesterday.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
We have the policy. I can tell you on air. I cleared a site that's 100 by 200 yesterday. All trees I took off the site.
So you probably never read the Forestry Act or
Doesn't matter
if
I did. I breached the law intentionally. What happens next? I did it intentionally. What happens next?
Well, we live in a country where we have rules that are never abided by, so...
I was just going to say, so we have an act. I breach it intentionally.
But
what happens next?
But we're killing our own selves, because when you knock down all of your trees, you know, trees give us oxygen and take our carbon dioxide,
plenty bush.
Right? And then we have our pine forest that they're talking about, you know, doing something with, but that is our aquifer. The roots of that
filter our water
and give us fresh water.
I understand how it works. But so, you said we have an act, but if I move something, I have to replace it. Correct. I can show you, and I sent you photos the other day, where there's about, probably say 100 acres that were cleared on Carmichael Road, that's east of the Coral Harbor roundabout. Cleared. Every tree gone. Almost 100 acres. Where did they put back another 100 acres of trees? How does this policy work? How did they put it back? They cleared 100 acres of trees.
Now, I can't speak on land, but what I can say is that we do have marine protected areas.
Oh, so that's speaking great, but on I don't ocean. Live in the sea. And I need air on the land.
Yeah. But so the blue economy policy, is really important to the Bahamas.
But does the policy make sense? If I cleared 100 acres of land, where do I put 100 acres of trees back?
All of the policies that the government has
put in place, legislation,
are actually excellent, but no one, it doesn't seem to be anybody who actually enforces them, not even wearing your seatbelt or going through a red light or nothing.
Will there be, the challenge I've always said is that...
But I still, as a human being...
No, but that doesn't work for everyone. Self-enforcement, you know what? You leave anyone inside a bank with $1 billion, some money's going to be missing. So
maybe
you know
not
why you need to have a security guy.
But you know what does help? Education, raising awareness on it. And even though it sounds like the tiniest little thing, it really does start on fostering that education and fostering a culture where we can get all these individuals to think like Debbie does right now, trying to think on that self-enforcement and that self-governance, because you know that you love your country and you want to keep living in this country, not just you, but your children and your grandchildren.
Right.
So, okay, I hear that's nice. Let me give you a real example.
Okay.
The government's going to build a school. Have you all ever been to a school?
Yes.
Okay, good. Have you been on campus of a school?
Many.
Tell me what the green areas on the school outside of the lawn, outside on the field where they play. You take about 10 acres of land, you clear it totally, so you took all the trees off. You put buildings on it, parking area for teachers and people who come to school, and a field. Where's the one tree that you replace? So the policy, I'm speaking to the policy now. The policy says you should do something. The government in designing a school, town planning involved, Ministry of Work, Ministry of Forestry involved, they didn't put back one tree. So you're telling me, I'm going to watch that example of the government doing it, but I'm going to do something different. Come on, let's be real. That's the reality. I keep saying again, Samantha, I audit what I see. You're telling me this is what we should do, but you're not even doing it. The public can't learn that way.
Unfortunately, I just have to do it anyways. That's all there is to it.
But you're not going to build a school. So if you build a school, you can't. You won't be paid to plant trees on the ground if you did a school for the government. Where are you going to put the trees? The government buildings. They build government buildings all the time. Go on any government building site. Look at the site, and it's easy for us to look at. They clear the site. They build the building. They don't add trees back to what they take away. So where's the enforcement of the policy, even from the government? So again, I told you I was going to be devil's advocate. Because words on paper sound great. They all look nice. these great binders of things. But unless we do it, we're never going to reach these development goals. We have to do it. So I applaud the efforts of SDG. I applaud the Youth Ambassador for Environment. I applaud all the efforts of your committee, and I believe that you all want to attempt to do it. Mm-hmm. But you got to get it in the minds of the politicians, the leaders, the persons who
they
help
really
you all to do it,
to
start to do the thing that you put on paper, or else we're not going to have a better Bahamas.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
I can't believe, is this going to be another
it's
show?
Over.
It's over. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Nailed It. And we thank
Samantha
and Debbie for bringing the sustainability to the BCA in construction. Because they know I'm really not about that life. But this has been a great show, and we will see everyone next week.
But we are always standing strong, a lifetime together. Now, baby, you and I, we don't regret anything. And now it's a two.